You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The unexpected turnarounds of two starting pitchers have been among some pleasant developments for the Red Sox in the second half of the season. Welcome to MLB.com Extras Boston Red Sox. I'm Matt Wehmeyer, joined by Red Sox reporter Ian Brown. Ian, thanks for the time as always this week. And the two starting pitchers we're talking about, of course, Joe Kelly and Rick Porcello. Kelly, a 6-0 August, and Porcello, even though the sample size is small, he's been pretty dominant in two starts since coming off the DL, a tough luck loss on Tuesday, despite striking out 13-8 against the Yankees. In your mind, which of them has had the more stunning turnaround?
Boy, that's a great question. I would say Joe Kelly, just because, I mean, you're talking about a guy who was in the minor leagues. Things have gotten so bad that he got sent down to Pawtucket and just looked completely lost. I mean, he wasn't getting anybody out. At least, you know, Porcello had a few starts even when he was struggling earlier in the year. He had some good ones mixed in, but you didn't really see anything from Kelly. And now he's just completely regained his confidence. I mean, this is a guy who is now spotting his fastball and mixing in off-speed stuff at will. I mean, you look at his start in New York against the Mets. He threw four straight changeups to Kelly Johnson to get out of a 30-pitch first inning there with a strikeout. I mean, that's just conviction in your off-speed stuff right there. So it's really come together for Joe Kelly. In many ways, this is kind of what people have been waiting for a while from Kelly. They've always thought he had the stuff. It was just a matter of more of developing a mindset and kind of a knowledge of how to pitch. And it's been great to see the confidence he's pitching with right now, because a lot of people were ready to send him into the bullpen, ready to write off the fact that he could ever be a good starter. So for that reason, I'd say that his turnaround is the most startling for all the pitchers on the team.
And as far as Porcello goes, you know, we've kind of joked around that Dave Dombrowski must have the magic touch when it comes to this guy, because he was, you know, it's odd. He was very good last season with the Tigers, Dombrowski the man in charge. And then as soon as he comes aboard with the Red Sox, he's able to kind of rediscover that magic through two very solid starts since coming off the DL. This might be a stretch, but can you give us any insight at all regarding the relationship between those two since Dombrowski made him a first-round pick 8 years ago?
Yeah, no, I think they certainly have a cordial relationship, Rick Porcello and Dave Dombrowski. But, you know, Dave traded him last winter to Cespedes, for Cespedes. So, you know, anytime a guy gets traded for the first time, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a weird feeling there. So I don't think it's that. I just think it's that Porcello went on the DL with this triceps injury. And, you know, he's had some time to reset while he was away. And he had time to say, look, why have I been a good pitcher over the years? It's because of my sinker. So he went back and decided, you know, I fell in love with him. For whatever reason, he fell in love with the four-seam early in the year. He got back to the basics. He got back to his foundation. And I think when a guy goes to a new team, a big market team, at times a big deal, trying too hard to be somebody he's not. And I think that Rick Porcello is the classic case of that. Now he's simply going back to, you know, what has got him to this point in his career, and that nasty sinker. And boy, Joe Girardi said the Yankees hitters were saying last night that was maybe the best Porcello sinker has ever looked. So that was really eye-opening to see the way he's pitching those two starts since coming back from the DL.
And even though nobody is happy to see where the Red Sox are in the standings, the basement of the AL East, is this in some way beneficial for Kelly and Porcello that they're going out there and just throwing, just pitching without the pressure of a pennant race right now?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. It'd probably be more gratifying for both guys if, you know, if they were pitching like this when the team was in it, if they were pitching like this earlier in the year when the team was playing for something. But yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for just finishing strong. You certainly don't want to think that these guys are pitching well just because there's no pressure on them. So I think that there's always pressure because, look, these guys are trying to prove to Dave Dombrowski that they can be a big part of this team going forward. So I think that, you know, each guy in the team, I think, does feel pressure right now. That's what's raising the game to different levels, because they're trying to bring, you know, that to get to your point of Porcello and Dombrowski, maybe these guys are all just trying to show their worth to the new boss. Hey, look, this is what I can add to this team. I think everybody on this team is playing with a little more edge than they were earlier in the year. And I think that, you know, the results are showing right now.
Ian, we spent time gushing over Jackie Bradley Jr. last week. We're going to do the same thing again right here today. can't get enough of that. For all the hitting he's done lately, if you look at his box scores, he's actually had a pair of 0-for-4 three-strikeout games in the mix as well. But both times, He kind of bounced right back the very next day or 2 days after that and started raking once again. To you, is that perhaps the strongest indicator that he's really figured things out and that he can sustain this success?
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that, you know, we were talking about this two podcasts ago about, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. finally found it. And here we are 2 weeks later, and he's still doing it. You know, it wasn't just an isolated thing. This guy is a guy who can clearly hit in the major leagues right now. He's going to the opposite field. He's belting the ball to left center field. He's using Fenway Park perfectly for a left-handed hitter, which is what you have to do when you're a left-handed hitter in Fenway. Unless you have the power of David Ortiz, you got to use the opposite field, and Jackie is doing that. And, you know, Torrey Lovello was saying that Jackie spent all of 2014 tinkering with this swing. And he's found a coach in Chili Davis who he's very comfortable with. It's arguable that Jackie should have gotten a chance to play for this team earlier in the year because he was performing well in the minor leagues the whole year this year. But the Red Sox outfield was overloaded because they went out and got Hanley in the offseason. You know, they still had Shane Victorino. They had Alejandro Deaza. So some of these other guys who were they had Daniel Nava. They had other guys who were taking playing time away from Jackie. Now Jackie clearly has a spot. He's really run with it, and they're all in on this guy for next year. Now it's just, you know, all they're trying to do between now and the end of the year is they're trying to figure out, you know, is Jackie a right fielder, is he a center fielder? So I think those are the kind of evaluation. But there's no doubt now that he's a part of what they're going to do in 2016 and beyond.
And on Monday night, he had just another ridiculous defensive play in a season full of ridiculous defensive plays. The liner, which he caught in left field, and then he guns down Greg Bird trying to score, tagging up from third. He had no momentum on that throw. He kind of had to reach up, and he couldn't get set. It was all arm, and he still got him by plenty. I mean, this guy is absolutely breathtaking in left field or center, wherever they put him on any given day. I'll put you on the spot a little bit right here. Is he right now the best defensive player in baseball, period?
I think he is, but, you know, I watch him every day. You know, I haven't seen anybody better at his position than Jackie Bradley is at his, and I felt the same way last year. I thought that Jackie Bradley, I think he had about 400 at-bats last year. I think that he should have won the Gold Glove last year, and he didn't for the sole reason that, you know, you look at it, you know, the guy hit 198 or something and spent a month and a half or a month in AAA. I think that cost him the Gold Glove. But, yeah, the guy is just tremendous. He just loves playing defense. And when you know, the thing about Jackie is people are saying if he could just hit 250, he'd be a useful player with his defense. And now, you know, he's looking like a guy who can hit 280, 290 with a 350 on base percentage. I mean, this is going to be a really valuable guy when you combine that defense with that offense.
Yeah, it's been something to watch, his resurgence. Like you said, the defense has always been there. Now the offense coming around, and what the future holds for him, it's very exciting to think about. Ian, as we begin to wrap up, it was made official yesterday that Hanley Ramirez will not play the outfield again for the remainder of the season. A lot of people would say, well, that's been the case all year. What's changed? Give us a health update on Hanram and what's next for him.
Yeah, Hanley is still kind of trying to regain some strength in his shoulder. He's had a right shoulder ailment that he said has bothered him for quite a few weeks now, and this explains why his offense has just gone so south. I mean, this guy hasn't hit at all since the All-Star break, and there had to be a reason. He's been too good a hitter. For all the focus on his defense or lack thereof in left field, the underlying hidden story with Hanley Ramirez was that he was hitting so far below expectations here in his first year in Boston. And the reason they paid this guy $20 million a year was not to put an outfielder's club on his hand, was because he could rake the baseball and hadn't been there. So I think they need to get him healthy and then get him over to first base and see if that's a viable option for next year. I think the last couple weeks of the season will give us a great chance to see whether whether Hanley could be a solution at first base, right? Because if he can't play that position, quite frankly, I don't know what you do at that point. So I think they're all in, and they're hoping that Brian Butterfield is a great infield instructor. He was the mastermind behind Mike Napoli's permanent move to first base. They're hoping that he can have the same effect on Hanley Ramirez.
A monster April for Hanram, and not a whole heck of a lot since, unfortunately for him, a tough first year back in Boston in 2015. Ian, to wrap up here, any update whatsoever on John Farrell?
Yeah, just that John is still going through chemotherapy treatments. And, you know, John has been around the ballpark just about every day here. He still sits in his office kind of in the pregame hours. People go in there and talk to him. People, you know, talk about baseball. And interestingly, Torrey Lovello has such respect for John Farrell that he has not been using the manager's office here at Fenway Park or on the road. Torrey still uses the coach's rooms, and that's where he does his business. He's not trying to pretend that he's the manager of the team. He's simply filling in for a friend. And, you know, all eyes right now are just on John Farrell getting healthy and getting through this thing. And, you know, it's a 9-week treatment program he's on here. I think he's on, he's at the beginning, he's in the middle of week 3 here of the 9 weeks. So just thoughts and prayers continue to be with John Farrell and all he's going through. And just not even think about, you know, baseball when it comes to John right now. Just think about him, you know, overcoming this thing.
Could not agree more. Great stuff, as always, from Red Sox reporter Ian Brown. Ian, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Boston Red Sox.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.